This podcast is brought to you by the Legarten Institute. I'm Sian Hansen, Executive Director, and we hope you enjoy this conversation.
Hi, I'm Peter Pomerantsev from the Transitions Forum at the Legarten Institute, and today I'm talking with Andrei Kirilenko, who is a professor of practical finance at MIT, but also a Ukrainian and a very close observer of economic changes, reforms, the lack of them in Ukraine, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Andrei, thank you very much for being here. Are you positive about the progress of economic reforms in Ukraine?
Well, thanks, Peter, for having me here. I think that overall, I feel that there seems to be something going on. There's certainly an IMF program in place. There's certainly some statements that are being made. There are some things that happened on the macroeconomic policy front. What concerns me a bit is that are we seeing in Ukraine just sort of recreation of the old model, just sort of extraction model that they had before, or are these reforms, are they just sort of reforms that will get us back to the old style? Let's produce things cheaply and sell them at higher prices abroad, and a few people will become fabulously wealthy, and the rest of the people are going to hope for the best. So is that what we're seeing underneath the structural reforms, or not? And unfortunately, I feel that I am sort of a bit on the fence. I feel that it's more in the direction of rejuvenating the old model, rather than really. For the government pulling out of a lot of key areas that it needs to pull out of, and just letting the people create businesses, starting new things, exporting, importing, designing new models, figuring out stabilizing things. So instead, I'm hearing more and more that the government says, well, let's support this business line, or let's introduce this regulation. A lot more paternalistic, and I'd like to see less of it.
And what exactly is stopping it from rebooting, or why is it rebooting rather than reforming?
My feeling is it's because of the same people who were just sort of in various government positions before are still in sort of different government positions, and perhaps saying slightly different things, but it's not entirely clear that they sort of have a new concept that is different from the things they were doing in the past. If you look at all the positions, people in the positions of power, they have been in various government roles over the last, decade and a half. This may be the transitory government, and maybe the new government after the elections in the fall is going to be different. In fact, I'd welcome for these governments to change more often.
I mean, when I was in, I came to the Maidan just after it, but I was very struck. I was still up, but I mean, Yanukovych had already left. I was very struck at the time that the revolution had very many disparate groups, from Cossacks through to some right-wingers. But the vast majority seemed to be, or a lot of the drive seemed to come from sort of medium-sized businessmen, who are, angry at the sort of the endemic corruption and desperately wanted a change. So aren't they going to become very, very frustrated if there's no structural changes to the way that the economy is arranged?
I think my hope is that, and I think it's translated sort of post-Maidan from what I've heard. I've had some sort of circumstantial exposure to it, but I met with some people who were small businessmen who became volunteer fighters, who became part of the National Guard. These are people in their 30s and 40s. These are men in their 30s and 40s with wives, little kids, elderly parents who go out there, arm themselves, and fight regular Russian troops. These are not your 18-year-olds who've watched too many Bond movies. So, these are the people who want to build their future. And what I feel that there is a lot of desire to build their future. They're perhaps less of a vision of what that future is. They know what they don't like. They don't necessarily know what they'd like instead. But I certainly feel that the government that's currently in place now is representing what these people actually want. I think it's consistent of the same faces that we've seen before that were in various positions of power. Someone said that there was a difference between the Maidan and the Maidan stage. So there were people on the stage on the Maidan who were, the same people who are now running the government. And then there is the actual Maidan. And there was a big disconnect, if you remember there, when People on the stage who just came out and said, we reached a deal with the former president. We shook his bloody hand, and we now have a deal. And now someone from the crowd said, I'm not going to accept your deal. And in fact, if by 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, this president is not out of here, we're going to storm his palace. What happened? He left. So people on the stage are making deals. They've been making deals for many, many years. And like, yes, you know, that's part of the political process to make deals, but the deals need to be made with people who are not other people on the stage, but people who are there on the ground.
What's the role of the IMF? Because the IMF has just approved the next bit of loan for Ukraine. Does that give it a new level of leverage, or quite the opposite? Is it now deeply sort of sewn into this government?
I think it's very positive that the IMF has this program in place. So the original program that the IMF created for Ukraine was a sort of short-term macro stabilization standby program, which is sort of a good program. Just it's like a Band-Aid, you know, on a large bleeding wound. So the new program is more of a structural program. It's more of a program that involves some physical therapy. But this program is in many ways imperfect. For example, this program doesn't take in, you know, sort of seems to, if you read this program, it seems to, you know, they seem to be under the impression that the war has ended and that the banking system is back to being healthy, which both are not the case and would require enormous amount of resources and change, right? Having said that, it's good to have the structural program. It's good to have it in place. I think what one of the issues is with this program, if you read through sort of this program and other documents associated with that, you read sort of at the very end of it saying that the program has exceptional risks and that the fund is now so overextended to Ukraine as a creditor that it would not have internal capacity to deal with arrears if the, you know, Ukraine were to somehow not being able to pay the fund. So now we are sort of seems to be in a scenario where it's Ukraine is now, you know, fund's problem. It used to be that so I feel that the fund may be so overextended that it could become much more lenient in terms of what it allows the governments to do. For example, they first came out and said very strongly that you have to have debt restructuring in place before the next tranche. Now, because they're so overextended and they have to deal with Greece, they're like, okay, we don't want another problem, just keep it going, however you keep it going. And they came out and said, even if you don't have the debt restructuring in Greece, we're going to proceed with the program, which creates an issue because it allows the politicians to go back to their old tricks.
Do you think this could lead to a third Maidan? One hears this sometimes, and sometimes one hears this as, you know, this is PR by the Russians or whatever. But actually, do you think, I mean, everything you're describing is a society that'll just hit another, you know, another major crisis very soon?
You know, I feel that this government does not represent what the people want. I also feel that there is an electoral cycle through which these issues really need to be resolved. They are local elections in the fall. Resolve these issues, elect people who would promise the society what the society really wants. I think these issues need to be resolved through fast changes in government, fast changes in government officials. Don't wait until your term is up. And electoral cycle. I think there will be sort of a process over which people will be found, the society will find people it trusts, because currently the society does not trust government, just sort of generally, if you look at polls and if you talk to people. So eventually people need to find representatives who represent their views, and that could be done. If it's bogged down, if it's back to the old tricks, if the old blocs financed by oligarchs, you know, have recreated themselves, then yes, a new Maidan is possible. How else are you going to break it? If you can find the people who represent yourselves through local elections, through changes in government, who making people accountable, that's another way of doing it.
And finally, very briefly, one of the big economic initiatives that has been started by the present government is appointing foreigners. In various ministries, including the finance minister is foreign. Why have they done this? Is it a good idea?
I think it could be a good idea. I think it could be a good idea in that, from my sort of limited interaction with official in the Ukrainian government, I sort of sense that as you go from the bottom to the top, you find that the quality of understanding and expertise actually decreases, which is not a good thing. You want it the opposite. So I call it a negative cycle. So there's some sort of a negative selection. There's sort of a selection process that, you know, sort of takes to the top people who are, for some reason, you know, have less expertise and less ability to govern themselves. To the extent that foreigners create issues with that they break this negative selection cycle, at least make it sort of less possible, that's good. On the other hand, I feel completely confident that the Ukrainians could find among their 40 plus million people very, very capable individuals who could govern themselves.
Andre, thank you very much. I'm hoping next time we see you, and hopefully we'll have you back again soon, we'll have something. I hope some of your predictions are wrong.
But, me too.
On that note, though, thank you very much for coming.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
To hear more podcasts from the Legatum Institute, please visit our iTunes channel or website at www.li.com.